Let's pray. Lord, keep us singing along the path that you have laid out for us, a path that you reveal through prayer and through scripture for each one. Lord, I pray for your strength and for your wisdom in this time of meditation this morning, that what is offered will bring glory to you. In Christ we pray, amen. As we cross the road this morning, I want you to mentally picture a busy city downtown intersection that has those crossing signals at each of the four corners. You know, those signals that you have to wait on before you cross the street. Those signals are meant there to tell you when it's safe to cross. They're also there to signal when it's not safe to cross. And sometimes a person has to wait very patiently for that little hiker image to come up so that you can walk safely across, always between the white markings of the crosswalk. So when it finally turns and it says walk, and sometimes they have that countdown timer, so you either have 20 seconds or 10 or 5, but you start to walk when it says walk, do you just automatically go and walk straight across? Or do you recall what you have been told to always look both ways before you cross the street? Think about that. Do you just go when the signal says and you keep your eyes straight and away you go? Or do you use caution and you look both ways before you cross? The wise person waits for the crossing signal, but also looks both ways to make sure all is safe. It's important to always remain observant and vigilant, patient and aware, and not just when you're crossing the street, but when you're making decisions in life. In Jeremiah 6, the Lord offers two safety signals to the Israelites as he calls the people to a path of faithfulness and obedience. And in the sixth chapter from which we've read, Jeremiah the prophet is describing a future time of judgment for the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem. And in verse 3, it talks about the city being surrounded by nomads, imaged in the verse by the shepherds and its flocks. So it kind of has a siege-like effect around the city in that imagery, because the Lord is aiming to punish the inhabitants of the city because they have been wicked, they have been evil, they've not been following the path that God has laid out for them, and there comes this time of judgment. And the Lord's wrath is all about the city. And then in Jeremiah 6, verses 16 and 17, the prophet offers two further warnings. He's warned them before. He signaled for them that they've been going astray, and he calls them back. And here he offers two more warnings, two more signals, calling to try and capture their attention, showing them the way they are to go. Hear the prophetic message from Jeremiah 6, 16 once again. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Stand at the crossroads and look. A decision needs to be made. Which way will you be going? Which way are the people supposed to turn? As they look at all of the options, standing at a crossroads, at the intersection of different paths, are they going to go to the right? Are they going to go to the left? Are they going to go to straight ahead? Or are they going to go back? Or maybe there's another tangent off to the side. They are to ask for, they are to seek the ancient paths. Wise counsel is that choice, the ancient paths. The Lord is calling the people of Jerusalem to walk in the way of their elders, the people that have gone before, that have taught the next generation where the path goes. the people of Jerusalem, instead of going their own way, they're supposed to seek the counsel from the elders as to not only when to cross, but which way to head. The people have been guided. They're guided to remember how God has led them before. In our reading from the book of Exodus, when he led them through the waters of the Red Sea, they followed. They remember God's presence with them in celebrating the Passover every year when God led them up out of Egypt. The people are to remember and to be guided by God's revelation that he has shared throughout their history. But the people of Jerusalem, they've been walking against the traffic. They have gone against the will of God repeatedly. And through Jeremiah the prophet, God once again offers them wise counsel. His wisdom is available to them through the old paths, remembering and living by the way of their ancestors, remembering what God had done in and through their ancestors. Such wise counsel leads them toward the right path, the right way of faith, repentance, reconciliation, and the love of God. And if they chose to walk in that path, notice what they're going to discover, what they're going to experience. Rest for their souls. Rest for their souls. The Lord has laid out the necessary steps involved in walking that right path that leads to rest. They were to stand and they were to look. They were to ask for and seek the right path, the ancient path, the good path. That means they are to desire them. And then they were to walk in that path that has been laid out for them, actively pursuing those ancient paths, to obey and to follow that path laid out. Rest for their souls. One theologian named Clark unpacks this metaphor in this way. As a traveler is going to a particular city, he comes to a place where the road divides into several paths. He's afraid of going astray. He stops short, endeavoring to find out the right path. He cannot determine which is the correct path to take. And at last he sees another traveler, and he inquires of him, gets proper directions, and proceeds along on his journey, arriving at the desired place. And he rests after the fatigue of his journey. Jesus most likely was quoting from Jeremiah 6:16 when he says in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew 11:29 is one of those verses that I often read to a family as they await that time of visitation before a funeral service, praying that they find rest for their weary soul, their rest from their weary mind through the truth of God's word and the support and the encouragement of the fellow travelers that will come and visit with them. God promises such rest. God promises rest through walking in the ancient paths of faith. But did you clearly hear what the people chose to do? The people refuse to heed the warning. Instead of delighting in the invitation and the instruction of God and experiencing that rest for their souls, they decide they will not walk in that path. But they're going to continue to do what they want to do. They're going to continue to follow their own path. And for the rest of the day, I want you to picture that paper that Joanne ripped. When you're not following the right path, it's easier to go off path. Remember that image, it's a good one. The people have refused God's wisdom. They've refused his grace. They have once again been obstinate. But again, only the people in Jerusalem have gone off path. Only the people in Jerusalem have been obstinate. Only the people in Jerusalem have said they will not walk in that path, right? We'll get to that. Jesus speaks of the path to destruction in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If it was only the people of Jerusalem that needed that warning, why is Jesus talking about that road in the Gospel of Matthew? Since the people of Jerusalem have chosen to reject the way of the ancient paths, God offers a second warning signal. And again, he has offered them many signals throughout their time, but here through Jeremiah, a second one. Be careful. The path you are following leads to danger, to destruction. Please turn back. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. Listen for the warning note that God sounds in your life. And they clearly hear the trumpet's call. They hear it, but they do not heed it. They ignore it. In Jeremiah 6:17, the prophet speaks once again. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. We will not listen. Stubbornness, stubborn mindsets, stubborn rejection. Paul writes of this in Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So what does this all mean for us? One devotional piece that I read explains it this way. We are all pilgrims on the journey of life, and we often find ourselves standing at a crossroads and wonder which direction to take. Sometimes we embark on a path that is full of obstacles, and then we're faced with the decision of whether to turn back or to continue on. Other times the road is very smooth, but eventually it can feel like it's leading us in the wrong direction too. But like the words of Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord instructs us for direction, instructs us to ask for direction, to walk in the good way of God, mapped out for us in the ancient ways of faith. And as we follow, we find rest. Life circumstances can cause us to face many different crossroads with confusion. But God reminds us that we must not be afraid to ask for direction and seek counsel for those who have the answers. We are to look to God for prayer. We are to look to God for wisdom in prayer and study of Scripture. Not just reading Scripture, but studying Scripture to see what it means, so that we can make the best decision about which direction to take based on information and guidance from the Holy Spirit. It's very appropriate to be thinking about this as a congregation looks for another pastor to serve this church. It's not through just the wisdom of the search committee, but it is through constant prayer. It is seeking God's will for that position and for the church. When you seek God's guidance, you can rest in the knowledge that you haven't made the decision of which path to take in just your own strength and your own understanding, your own reasoning. There is comfort in knowing God is guiding, especially when the journey is long. The Israelites, the people in the city of Jerusalem, they knew of God's guidance. As they journeyed in the wilderness following their exodus out of Egypt, Deuteronomy 1:32 describes God's presence with them. It says, "The Lord your God went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp, and to show you the ways you should go." As God was with the people of the Exodus, as God was interacting with the people of Jerusalem, the very same God is with us. God gives us those warning signals of when to cross safely and when not to cross, when it's not safe. As we spend time in prayer seeking His will, in His time, He's going to reveal that path. We have to continue to pray and be faithful and study His word. As we approach the sacrament of communion and our worship of God this morning, in reality, we are each coming to a crossroads. Each one of us. Will we open ourselves up to the grace of God? Will we truly remember that ancient sacrificial path that Jesus walked for our salvation? Will we acknowledge any distance from God in our own lives? Will we return to the ancient paths laid out for us by our Lord and our Savior? As we come to the sacrament, will we open ourselves to the grace and the will of God? Let us pray. Ever-present and everlasting God, may Your word continually be in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to imagine that we each are standing at a crossroads in our lives with decisions to make. Will we draw closer to You, or will we ignore You? Will we listen, or will we walk away? May the sacrament of the Lord's Supper serve as a trumpet call to each of us, drawing us back to You, drawing wisdom and strength from the paths of Scripture, that we would know Your peace, that we would rest in You, that we would listen, repent, and make sacrifices in our own journeys that would honor You. In Christ we pray. Amen. On this World Communion Sunday, know that Christ is Lord of all believers in every land and every nation. He is God's Son and He is our Redeemer. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to Me shall not hunger. You who believe in Me shall never thirst." In company with all who hunger for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ and the sharing of this life-giving bread and this life-renewing fruit of the vine. I invite you to unite in prayer as found in your bulletin. Lord, on this first Sunday of October, we, along with the worldwide Christian Church, observe and celebrate this sacrament of remembrance. We come before You as a repentant people, confessing our sin and seeking Your grace. Though You created creation good, the world today is fractured, polarized, and troubled. Such is the condition of the universal church too. In faith, as Jesus intends, the sacrament is an act of sacrifice, love, and unity. As we come to the table this morning, may we each strive ever more diligently to be the disciples Jesus teaches and commands us to be. In His name we pray. Amen. As we remember the ancient days, we remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed, that He had first gathered in the upper room with His disciples. And while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples and said, "Eat of this in remembrance of Me, the broken body that I give to you." And Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks, He shared it with them and said, "Drink of this. This is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's pray. Oh God, today we are unified at Your table with Christians all around Your world. As we join them in spirit, regardless of any differences, may we identify closely with them through concern and compassion. We pray that You would bless this bread and this fruit of the vine. Bless us as we receive these elements in remembrance of him who died for us all. In Christ we pray. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We take them in remembrance that Christ died for us and was raised for us. I invite you to come, for now all things are ready. I invite our servers. Remembering Christ, I invite you to take and eat. remembering the sacrifice of Christ, our Lord and Savior, take and drink. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the unifying experience of this holy sacrament. May we, along with all who have gathered at your table today, know Christ's presence and receive his gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love, and may you be praised and glorified through the light we bring to others. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Let us rise as we're able and sing our closing hymn, number 51, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. After the benediction, we'll sing verse 1 in the refrain of Redeemed, number 521.
Thank you.
May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds stayed on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.